Welcome to Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Aird. Today is the 7th of November, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Thinkst, the makers of the much-loved Thinkst Canary. Microsoft published its yearly digital defence report on Friday. It says threat actors are now weaponising publicly disclosed vulnerabilities an average of 14 days after they're made public. The report also covered zero-day usage by state-backed threat groups, and Microsoft says Chinese government threat actors are particularly proficient at discovering and developing zero-day exploits. Now, Microsoft believes this sudden spike in zero-day exploits from Chinese threat actors comes as a direct result of a new law passed by the Chinese government last year, which requires that Chinese security researchers report vulnerabilities they find to a state agency before reporting the issue to the software vendor itself. The law passed in July 2021 and came into effect in September 2021. At the time, the Chinese government said it only wanted to maintain an accurate index of vulnerabilities and to make sure local companies don't dodge responsibilities for failing to patch vulnerabilities, leaving Chinese users and government networks exposed to attacks. While Microsoft seems to believe this law had a direct impact on the zero-day arsenals of Chinese APT groups, solid evidence to support such an assessment is still lacking. The Atlantic Council has published research which claims the Hamas organisation is trying to expand into the cyber domain, where it's slowly becoming a capable threat actor. Simon Handler, a fellow in the Atlantic Council's Cyber Statecraft Initiative and the author of the Atlantic Council's report into this research, said this.
In general, we see the national security community focusing on cyber threats emanating from the big four U.S. adversaries: China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. And before some of the more recent buzz and initiatives to combat the surge in ransomware, the United States and its allies have overwhelmingly tailored their policy countermeasures for use against state actors. But at the same time, offensive cyber capabilities are proliferating worldwide, and they're reaching entirely different categories of actors, including groups with histories rooted entirely in armed kinetic violence, like militant organizations and drug cartels. This report highlights Hamas, a Palestinian militant group and designated terrorist organization, as an emerging and capable cyber actor, and it uses this case study to gain insights into how similar groups may engage in the cyber domain in the future. So the report analyzes Hamas's cyber operations in the context of its overall strategy, and what it finds is that the acquisition of cyber capabilities doesn't indicate a sudden shift in its strategy, but rather another means of doing what it's already doing, which is attempting to influence audiences in order to achieve favorable political outcomes. So in other words, cyber operations present new ways for Hamas to do old things better. As policy countermeasures change Hamas's incentives to conduct provocative kinetic terrorist attacks, the group can rely on lower-risk cyber espionage and information operations to influence target audiences and continue to further its strategic objectives. Now, hopefully, this case study will be helpful for the policy community to understand the development and implementation of cyber tools by similar non-state entities.
Greek newspaper Documento has published a list of the names of 33 individuals the paper claims were targeted and infected by the predator spyware as part of an illegal surveillance operation ordered by the Greek government last year. The list includes names of state officials, journalists, and local business people. The most high-profile figure is Nikos Dendias, Greece's current foreign minister. Documento published its report after members of the EU PEGA Commission, established to investigate spyware abuse by governments across Europe, visited Greece last week. Greece is currently under investigation by the EU for using spyware against a member of the European Parliament and against journalists and prosecutors who were investigating government corruption cases. Last week, Swiss news outlets reported that the Qatar government hired a private company founded by a former CIA agent to orchestrate a large-scale intelligence operation that hacked FIFA officials in the run-up to Qatar being awarded the FIFA 2022 Soccer World Cup. The report claims that the highest echelons of the Qatari government were involved and that the operation cost it hundreds of millions of US dollars. Last week, the Associated Press reported the FBI is investigating former CIA agent Kevin Chalker, the founder and CEO of Global Risk Advisors, which was the company contracted by the Qatari regime. The UK National Cyber Security Centre is planning to scan the UK national IP space to detect and catalogue vulnerable systems and devices. NCSC officials said they plan to use this information to be better prepared to respond to the sudden waves of exploitation targeting particular devices. Japan's Ministry of Defence has formally joined the NATO Cooperative Cyber Defence Centre of Excellence, an information sharing and cyber defensive program initially established by NATO members. Japan becomes the organisation's 39th member after the CCD COE started accepting non-NATO members following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, with non-NATO members like Luxembourg, South Korea and Ukraine also joining this year. An investigation by the UK's Information Commissioner's Office has found that the UK Department for Education had a major privacy lapse in its LRS database. The LRS system was designed to let educational institutions review students' records before admitting them to courses or special programs. But the British press and ICO found that the Department for Education had granted access to the LRS system to a company named Trustopia. Trustopia then allowed online gambling companies to use the data for age verification. The ICO concluded this was a major misuse of the LRS system and its data. Software company SolarWinds says it's reached a settlement with its shareholders in a class action lawsuit they filed in 2021, which accused the company of misleading investors following the compromise of the company's technology by Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service, the SVR. According to documents filed with the United States SEC, SolarWinds and its investors reached an agreement on a settlement of around $26 million. The settlement will need to be approved by a judge. DeFi platform Solend says it lost $1.26 million worth of cryptocurrency following an Oracle attack that targeted the Hubble USDH currency traded through its platform. Danish train operator DSB says the disruptions to some of its trains in late October were the result of a cyber attack that hit one of its IT subcontractors. While the name of the company and the nature of the attack were not revealed, our money is on a ransomware attack. Google has published an extensive analysis of three Android zero-day vulnerabilities that were used in a complex exploit chain in attacks against Samsung smartphones. Google says that all three zero days were patched in March this year, and that, based on its investigation, the exploits targeting the bugs appear to have been developed by a commercial surveillance vendor. And finally, mobile security firm Clefy claims to have found a version of the Vulture banking Trojan hidden in an Android app uploaded to the official Google Play Store. The company says the app, which claimed to allow users to recover deleted files, was downloaded more than 100,000 times. That's it for today's news. Today's show was sponsored by Thinkst. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this episode in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.